Hi, everybody. This is Tom Newsom from Real Talk Outdoors, coming to you from Ramsey, Minnesota. And my partner, Larry Hansen, is off on assignment tonight. So you're going to have this dull conversation listening to me. And you know what? We're going to talk about a whole bunch of stuff. So call in when you get a chance, 763-450-0100. And if you've got something to talk about with your early spring fishing, let me know. I just got back from Florida, and I just came in last night, and I'll share a little bit of conversation about that. And I know we talked about it the last couple of weeks, but it was fabulous fishing. The weather was windy like it has been here, but we did a great job. So anyway.
And Brandon and I will do our best to chime in if you need it, Tommy.
Okay, we got it. Well, you know, I'm going to start off with a couple of things that are kind of interesting. You know, we look at the politics in fishing, but we don't have to look over the politics in fishing. This coming Saturday, we have a huge meeting. It's called the Summit, the DNR Fisheries Summit. There'll be over 100 people there in attendance, plus DNR folks, and they're all the work groups. So there'll be people from each work group of six different species there at St. Cloud University. And we're going to talk about different things that are coming up with what they are hearing about their species and what they want to see a tendency to move forward with. So, you know, it's kind of interesting that we are getting things done on a different level. This is the first time we've had this summit, and I'm looking forward to it. And I thank Brad Parsons, the head of fisheries, for putting it together and his staff. And we're gonna find some stuff to talk about and move forward probably in the fishing world on the fishery side for probably the next 2 to 5 years. So just listen up as far as what in outdoor news or a few other places, and you're going to find out what happened at the meetings. And I will share information probably next week, next Saturday, and you'll find out a little bit about what happened. So come join us always every Sunday night from 7 to 8. We have information for you. And Larry's having a good time. He's out in a place where he doesn't have much coverage, and it's hard to say what's going to happen. I hope he comes home safe and sound, but you know, he'll always do a good job, and I look forward to having him back next week. So anyway, that's it for me for that. I could tell you that being in Florida is a lot different. I mean, we were there for 16 days, and the wind blew every day but 2 days. And when I say blew 15 to 25, and when you're out in the ocean, it gets pretty rugged. But we had a great guide, as I mentioned before, Chip Beach, and a pretty good-sized boat. And we got out there, and we got in the waves, but we did catch fish. And we got giant yellowtail snappers, mutton snappers, grouper, barracuda. I mean, whatever was out there, you name it, we were catching it. But I mean, the rods were bending, and I'll tell you, you're sore at the end of the day. But if you've never experienced saltwater offshore fishing, and I'm not talking about trolling around in circles, I'm talking about holding a rod, casting to schools of fish, and any other fish that we caught was permit. And if you've never caught a permit, it's something that you need to put on your bucket list, because it's exciting and a great way to fish. And I think that, you know, I look at it as an experience. It's something that we don't do up north. It's something that we don't experience up here. And I think that if you go and do it once, you'll be like I was 23 years ago. You're hooked and you go back every year. Do I want to live there? No. Do I want to go fishing there? Yeah. But I don't want to live there. But they have a different lifestyle there than we do. But it's still, you know, it's still a very interesting deal. And I think that, you know, when you fish all over the country, you're always going to find species that are going to interest you and species that are going to get your attention. I don't care if it's down in Florida where I was in saltwater, but right now the crappie guys down in Missouri and Georgia and Texas and Mississippi are getting after them pretty good. And the bass fishing, of course, is really good. But I'll match our bass fishing with anywhere down south, maybe not for size, but for numbers I will. So just a point of interest. And again, you know, if you got any callers that want to come in and talk about what they've been catching the last 2 weeks while I've been gone to spring fishing, you know, give us a call, 763-450-0100. and we'll talk about your experience underwater and what you've been doing. So I think that I want to bring a point of interest to you about, we talked a little bit about it the last time, and I think it was last week, and we talked about spool size on your spinning reels. And the one thing about spool size is that you can use an ultralight, you can use a light reel, but you better have a bigger spool on there. Now, how can you do that? Well, you got to pick a spool, you got to pick a reel about a 2000 with a bigger spool on it and be able to have that tendency for the line to fly off the reel. Now, if you use a 1000 or a 750, it's too tight and you got too tight of a system there and you have a problem with spooling up. And I think that what you have to do is understand that you want the line to fly off, especially when you're throwing light baits. Early in the season, that's what we do. And I gotta tell you about a new bait. I just got them while I was gone to Florida. And it's called, I mean, this is really an interesting name. Dr. Minnow 2 Jointed. And it's from Daiwa. And it's the cutest little thing you ever saw. It's a jointed minnow, and it's only about 2 inches long. And it comes in about 6 or 8 colors. But I'll tell you, I think for crappies, all kinds of panfish, even maybe walleyes early in the season, if you get your hands on any of these baits, give it a try. Because when I got them, I was like, my eyes got as big as 50 cent pieces. And I thought, boy, what a great bait to be entered into the hard bait market. And I've never seen a jointed minnow this small, 2 inches long. And it's, like everything that Daiwa makes is quality stuff. But I think it's real important that you kind of look at this stuff. And here's the first ones out of the box with a bait like this. And I think it's kind of interesting. So make sure you call in and give me a call and let me know what you're thinking. And again, 763-450-0100. And we'll be here for the next hour. And I've got a couple people probably going to call in. But I also have a seminar on May 2nd with Walleyes Unlimited, the Twin Cities chapter, and they'll be in Bloomington, Minnesota. So if you get a chance and you want to attend, look up Twin Cities Walleyes Unlimited, and they will give you the time, the address, and everything. And hopefully I can have that all put together for next week also. But it's going to be a lot of fun, and we're going to have a great discussion with a great bunch of people. So there you go. So Brandon, what I know you're on with me. What have you been up to lately with
not a whole lot
with all the stuff you're doing?
My next planned fishing trip isn't until the open water Ballard's trip that's in July. I'm sure I'll get out before then. I don't have a boat or anything. I want to get I need a kayak this year. I think that'd be fun, doing a little kayak fishing.
Not a bad idea. Not a bad idea, but get one that you can put gear in,
I want to even be able to fit my dog if possible.
I've been
busy just kind of cruising around. I didn't really talk about it much on this show, but I did go check out that eclipse, and that's still the highlight of my life in the last couple months, is being in the path of totality for that. So that was the biggest news in my world.
Yeah, we kept watching on TV, and I took pictures and that, but we were... We were at a different motion and a different notion, about fishing. So I wasn't really, it wasn't, and we were traveling. And
where were you guys during that? You were
down in the Keys.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Which has its own set of things that you want to do and check out there. Yeah. I wouldn't be too concerned with the sun and the moon if I was hanging out in the Florida Keys either.
No, but we got, we got good news down there, and we got some really cool video pictures of what went on, and the excitement that people had was just overwhelming. I mean, even at the airport, people were going to it were just actually crazy. But that's it. So be it. I guess when I was younger, I used to get that excited just to go fishing where I was going. But
and that's, and I am really, really excited about hitting Lake of the Woods open water. This will be my first time up there on open water. I've only ice fished on Lake of the Woods. So it's going to be a blast. I do got to get out before then, though, to warm up.
It's probably a bottom bouncer bite up there in July, where they're pulling bottom bouncers and spinners with a crawler. That's kind of what we do when we go up there in July. But you know, sometimes the guys get out on some of these reefs with the bigger boats and sit on a school of walleyes and jig them.
Yeah.
But most often they're drifting or slow trolling with bottom bouncers and spinners.
Yeah, I'm curious as to how they're going to do it. I'm pretty sure there's going to be six of us in our boat. So I'm curious to see how that works and what we do. It'll be a lot of fun.
They can handle it. They can handle it. They do it.
Yeah. Strew is going to be in my boat. That's the only concern that I have, is that I will be spending time with the wild card from the Four Outdoorsmen. But it's going to be fun.
Yeah, at least you know each other. I mean, that kind of helps with the out fishing and everything.
No, and we had a blast on the first ice water trip that I went on. So, yep, looking forward to bringing Strew back up there.
Good. And I hope you guys have a great time, and I'll talk to you many times before that. So,
yeah, because I'm going to want some tips and, you know, just an update on how things are going up there and what the, because I do think your tip on the colors of those spoons to use did help this summer. I mean, that was all, when we were up on the winter trip, I did use your suggestions. And it worked for us, so it was a lot of fun. So I'll be looking for more tips and pointers for the summer bite.
Well, and I'll give you some stuff that we found over the years up there that works really well. So, I'm more than happy to pass that along to you. So, okay.
Cool. Yeah, appreciate it. And it looks like we do got a caller on the line.
We have a caller. We have Al from North Branch.
Hi, Al. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Tom, I wanted to ask you.
Hi,
about,
Al, are you still with us?
I'm here. Can you hear me? Hello?
He should have you now.
Hi,
hello?
Al.
Can you hear me? Yeah.
I can hear you.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about minnow availability for opener, and weeks after that, I'll be going up to Fall Lake. And wonder, I know that in the past you've talked about issues with live bait availability. Is that going to be an issue this spring?
No, Al, I'll tell you, I just got off the phone last night with one of the best bait shops up in northern Minnesota, Bill Paul out of Fred's Bait in Deer River. And I asked him, I said, how's availability of bait? And he said, it's really good right now. He's getting plenty of fatheads, rainbows, and sucker minnows. So, they don't do much for shiners right now because they don't want to keep them for, 3 weeks or so. They don't want to try to hold them. So they'll go after them with about a week to go to the opener. But he told me that bait availability looks pretty good right now.
Okay, great. And so I would imagine that, are you familiar with Fall Lake at all? It's, by Ely?
No, I am not. I've heard of it, but I've never fished it.
Okay, nope. Great. I was wondering if that's going to be a minnow bite or leech, or that early in the spring, what would be a preference there?
I still think, Al, it would be a jig and minnow bite for the most part, off the edges of the reefs and that. But don't put a slip bobber and a leech off too much either. Don't stick it away in your rod locker and not bring that. I know the water has warmed up a little bit here and there, and we're waiting to see exactly what the temperatures are going to be by opener. But I would guess the way things are going, it's going to be in the 50s and maybe even hit 60. But it depends. Is Fall Lake dark water or clear water?
Pardon me?
Is Fall Lake clear water or dark water?
I don't know. I haven't done the research yet. It's I've just found out about our trip, so I haven't found out what it is. I'm going to be calling up there this week, but I wanted to find out about the availability of live bait and so on. So appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, you bet, Al. Good luck to you. Good. There's a guy getting ready to go. He's still got 3 weeks to go, but or a little more than 3 weeks, but he's, there's a lot of people are getting excited now. All of a sudden, they're just coming out of the woodwork. And I think that the winter fishing was over so early, and then the season ended the end of February, and now guys are looking to do something other than crappie fishing. So I think walleye fishing is still that's on their mind, and that's a species of choice in Minnesota for people coming here. I think we have a lot to offer people with other species, but walleyes are king, and I think that we have to always understand that. And I was talking to somebody yesterday, and we were talking about live bait versus plastics. And I think that there's a phenomenon where these plastics are created to mimic live bait, of course. But make no mistake, when you start hearing that plastics will outfish live bait continuously, talk to most of the guides that you know and find out if that's true or not. Now, plastics will do a very good job for you, and in some situations will do a better job. But I think for the most part, for walleye fishermen, you better make sure you got live bait with you. Don't leave it at home. And, you know, there's always been that talk about, I can catch as many on plastic. Maybe you're a better angler. But anyway, we got another caller.
We have Darcy on the line.
Oh, hi, Darcy.
Hey, Tom. How are you doing?
I'm good. Good. We just got home and, you know, last night late, and I got out fished again as usual, you know, by Renee and Judy, but that was fun. We had a great time. We all caught fish and it was really good. So
yeah. You know, Renee has that reputation.
Oh, I know. She's got a fat wallet too, because she wins the $5 every day. So, I always give her credit, or I kid her a lot and say, did you bring the fat wallet with you? And she just laughs. But no, it was very good. We had a great time, and we caught a lot of fish, except for the wind. The wind will beat you up down there. If you don't, you know, and you have nothing to do or say about it. It's Mother Nature just pulled, because we always go in April because of the fact, because the permit are out on the reefs spawning, and we can catch them on a jig, and, you know, we can catch them different ways rather than shallow. And I like that deep water permit bite a little better. When I say deep water, they can be in 180 feet on reefs that are 80 feet on top. And you can see them. They can actually, our guide, Chip Veach down there, he actually looks for them in certain areas. And it's a really, really good fish. And they are tough. I mean, you're talking a 25-pound bluegill. So can you imagine hooking up with something like that? You know, it's just crazy. But and we got good food fish, and we just had a great time. Even with the windy conditions, we still got out and fished.
Yeah. Well, I was just wanted to let you know we'll be up there in 2 weeks. So, you know, would you do what you can to keep the weather good?
Yeah. Can you hang on for a minute, Darcy? I got to take a break, and then I'll be back with you in a couple minutes. Okay. Hang on.
Yeah, that works.
There's more Real Talk Outdoors coming up on Bob FM. Call or text 763-450-0100. That's 763-450-0100.
This is Debbie from Frankie's Live Bait and Marine. At Frankie's, our certified outboard technicians have over 70 years combined experience repairing outboards, and having been a Ranger dealer for 20-plus years, our technicians are among the most qualified Ranger technicians in the country. Frankie's also has one of the best fiberglass repair shops in the upper Midwest. If you're thinking about buying a Ranger boat, visit our website at frankiesboats.com or call us at 651-257-6334.
Get friends together, shoot some clays, and raise money for Kids Help. How can you beat that? It's the 8th annual Dave Weiss Memorial Sporting Clay Shoot on April 27th, benefiting Shriners Children's Camps Twin Cities and U of M Masonic Children's Hospitals. Presented by Clay's Camps for Kids Twin Cities, a 501c3 charity, with the support of Adelson Peterson Construction. Are you in? April 27th at the Minnesota Horse and Hunt Club in Prior Lake, Minnesota. Sign up at claysCampsForKidsTC.org. That's claysCamps, number 4, TC.org. What's that, boy? Timmy fell down a well again. No? Oh, you want a treat? Not that either, huh? What? You want a Cuban cigar? What? Well, that makes no sense. I do not understand you.
If dogs could talk, they'd tell you to go to MendotaPet.com, where you'll find the best pet products like leashes, collars, and skincare. MendotaPet.com. Great products for your good boy or girl.
Let's get back to Real Talk Outdoors on Bob FM.
Welcome back to Real Talk Outdoors, the voice of the anglers in Minnesota. I'll tell you what, this segment is brought to you by Mendota Pets. What a great operation. What a great company to work with. And I mean, they've got covered leashes, they got covered, you know, blankets, you know, and their leashes are made strong, really strong. And I think that if I was going to have a dog again, which I don't have a dog again, Mendota Pets would be the first place I would go to shop for all the things that I'm going to need for my dog. And they have done a super job. And they, you know, and they too will, if you call them or go online, they'll even give you advice on what to buy. And they're a great store and a great operation. So Mendota Pets, thank you for your just making the stuff that makes a dog feel comfortable and moving forward with taking care of pets the way they should be taken care of. Okay, we're back. Darcy, so go ahead.
Yeah, Tom, the reason I actually called in was to talk about a topic that was really touched on last year, and you mentioned it briefly when you started tonight, and it was really dealing with line looping, or what, you know, when you're in the middle of it, is sometimes called line slap against the rod blank. And there's a couple of things that, well, obviously, the line itself, when it's wound around and it sits and it gets memory, I mean, that's the loop in of itself. But what you can do to minimize that, and actually, it's the size of the reel you use, the amount of line on the reel, and then also the size of the guides. And there's something here that's a little counterintuitive, I guess I'd say, that the more guides you put on a rod, and the smaller the guides, micro guides in particular, the more you have on your rod, and I build rods, and I have at least 10 guides on my rod. And when I say counterintuitive, what I mean by that is you're putting more guides on, which means you have more contact between the guide and the line, but it actually helps with line slap or line loop when you're casting. And the other thing to pay attention to is really the distance between the reel and that first large guide, which is the stripper guide, and the size of the stripper guide. So, and I've found actually the smaller reels without overloading them with line. I mean, for instance, I'll only put about 40 yards of line on my reels. And I find that that tends to minimize the looping. And it also, it has really no negative effect on casting distance when you apply that with the number of guide eyes. It does not affect casting distance.
That's interesting. So, you know, that's very interesting when you think about it, because then, you know, we as anglers, and especially guys that have been around for a while, we look at it differently. We think, well, we don't have to fill the line to this. I don't fill my spools up anywhere near what I used to. And I think what it does is it creates a real problem when you fill them all the way to the top. You're begging for a problem. But now when you mention having multiple guides, okay, so you're talking about, you know, with your rods, they're 7.5, 7 feet, 7.3. You're putting on 9 to 10 or 8 to 10 guides, and you have better luck with that by not getting loops, like not having looping.
The looping, it reduces the distance between the guides. So the memory that's in the line, because there's always a little bit of memory in the line, by reducing that distance, you don't give the line time to loop, basically.
Right.
You know, you've restricted the distance in shortening it. The line doesn't play out and create the same kind of issue.
All right, Darcy, let me ask you a question. So, you know, I mean, I was just in salt water, but it doesn't matter. You know, in fresh water, it's the same thing. I get far less looping with braided line than I do with monofilament. And why is that?
I would say it doesn't tend to create the memory.
Right.
I'll talk about mono like it's plastic, although it's, you know, it may not be a fair comparison, but
you know, once you get plastic bent a certain way, it has memory, and trying to straighten that out becomes very difficult. And I think mono can tend to act that same way, whereas braid, if you think cotton may not be a fair comparison, but, you know, think of a cotton thread. Does cotton thread have memory? Not really.
Mm-mm. No. And it's interesting because of the fact that braid has got more popular, I would say, over the last 15 years than it did for maybe 25 years ago. Braid was kind of getting away. You know, we were getting away from using braided line. Originally, when I was younger, fishing with my dad, he would use Shakespeare, I'm trying to remember the name of the line that he used to use all the time, but it was braided. It was not like the stuff of today. Not the strength, the diameter was way bigger. And Ashway line? I'm trying to remember the name of it. But anyway, but he never thought about using a mono leader. He never thought about it. And he used a leader, but it was, at times, I tried to convince him later on in his life that a mono leader would be better. But he said, no, I've caught a lot of fish on a cable leader for years, and that's what I'll use. So that was his choice. But now we use it completely differently. You know, we tie three or four different knots that attach to, the braided line to, what we call super lines to mono. And, so anyway, there's different versions of that. Now, I'll get more extensive into that, but we have a caller, Darcy, so hang on.
Okay. We have Tim from Victoria.
Hi, Tim.
Hello.
How you doing?
So I was calling in. You wanted a report from the Southwest Metro, we'll say.
Okay.
For crappies. I've been crappie fishing, got my boat out a few times already this year, and it's been good and bad, right? So we had that cold spell that seemed to move them off, and then they were coming in, and then they moved out, and then they came back in, and then they moved out. But, we've been able to get a limit and have a fish fry even, so we're good at that. But I wanted to talk about live bait. Okay. I haven't used live bait for crappies in over 10 years. You know, I mean, crappies and bass, I would never use live bait. Walleyes, yes, but not crappies or bass. And I just wanted to put my 2 cents in there and then see what you had to say about that.
You know what, Tim? That's a great, I'm glad you called in, because that's exactly the kind of stuff that is important for anglers to understand. You know, with panfish, there's multiple jigs that are made for panfish that you really don't need live bait for. They do a tremendous job of attracting the fish and catching them. And bass is the same thing. You don't need live bait for bass. You can catch them on all the number of artificial baits that come out. But walleye fishing is a little different. They're kind of a different character. And you can't always catch them on artificials. Now, guys that troll a lot with crankbaits, they do a pretty good job. But there are times when you got to have live bait with you when you're fishing walleyes.
Oh, yeah.
I'll argue that with anybody.
I have not been able to crack that code for plastics. I've got so many plastics. I've got thousands of dollars invested in plastics, and we got the new stuff from Rapala, was it Rush City or what's it called?
Rush City.
Rush City. That they have. Yep, that's supposed to be good. So I bought a bunch of that, and I bought a bunch of the other stuff from Northland, and I still have not been able to crack the code. Always live bait, except, pulling cranks, obviously, if you're pulling with lead core or something like that. But otherwise, everywhere I go, if you're doing bottom bouncers with a worm or a leech, that kind of stuff, or jigging a minnow.
Yeah. Well, that's important, and I'm glad you called, Tim, because that's a segment of what we were talking about. Don't discard the live bait when you're fishing walleyes, because I can guarantee you there'll be a day when you come back with nothing. And all of a sudden a guy at the landing and said, oh yeah, I was using jigging minnow, or I was using this, and you know what? It's okay, because that's how we learn. That's how we learn to present the bait. That's how we learn to catch fish, and we can use all kinds of different presentations. But I can tell you, with walleye fishing, live bait is very important.
Right. Well, you know,
so go ahead.
As far as the, you know, the Godfather, you know, Al Lindner, you know, he never uses live bait ever anymore, that I know of anyways. And, you know, he catches plenty of walleyes, but I still haven't been able to crack that code. That's one of my to-dos this year, is trying to figure that out.
Well, you got to look at the presentation and how you're working the bait. I think that's the important thing, and that, you know, there's some, you know, there's some YouTube videos out there that'll show you. I know Jason Mitchell's got one. I know Al Linder and his crew at Angling Edge have got them. Just kind of look around there and play those, and then try to simulate that action, Tim. And I think you'll do just fine. So we got another caller coming in, Tim. So thank you so much for calling. Always call in whenever you want. Okay.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it.
Thank you. You bet. Okay, Darcy, are we back?
Yes, sir. Yep, okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, the other thing I just want to make sure that I highlighted, I mentioned it, and that is micro guides make a real difference in that. But I want to point out, micro guides don't work if you're trying to bobber fish. You know, you put bobber stops on there. And, you know, if anybody takes that advice and tries to bobber fish with it, that won't work. You know, that'll be a fail.
Well, we're working on, you know, some other stuff. You know I'm working on a rod for St. Croix right now that hopefully is going to be a bobber rod. That's going to be, or they'll call it a float rod. And it's designed with some of the stuff in mind that you're talking about. Darcy, can you hang on a little longer? I got to do a commercial break here.
I sure can.
Okay.
Yep.
Hi, for everybody. This segment is brought to you by Frankie's in Chisago. I'll tell you, Frankie's Marine and Bait, just a tremendous place to go. He's got a great staff. They'll help you get through the day with all the different baits that you're going to need, whether it's live bait, artificials, it doesn't matter. But most often, going to Frankie's, you will get the best service possible for your boat, motor, trailer. And he's the largest Ranger dealer in the Midwest. So make sure that if you go to Frankie's, tell them Tom and Larry sent you. And Frankie's of Chisago, what a great place to go. Okay, Darcy, come on back.
Yeah, Tom, the other thing I wanted to mention before I forget it is, I think it was last week, there was a caller that really had a focus on rod balance and, you know, balancing the reel with the rod. And one of the things that, in fact, I almost called in at that point, but I let it slide. What I'd like to point out to folks is the rod blanks that are the new upgraded rod blanks that are out there now. Those things, and I use 7'3", 7'3" rod blanks. And like I say, with micro guides. And one of the things I found is that when you're using that type of a rod, because that blank itself is only 1.3 ounces, and when you're using that type of a rod, what you find is balance doesn't become that critical of an item. In fact, the thing that becomes more concerning than anything else is the distance between the reel itself and the butt end of the rod, because if there's, to try to achieve maximum balance with that, you're going to find that the butt end of the rod will get hung up in your sleeves, particularly when you're wearing rain gear or when you're wearing a coat. So you start looking at some trade-offs. And like I said, I build rods. So what I've done is shorten up that distance quite a bit. And it's something for people to consider when they're looking at buying a rod. And it really becomes, how heavy is the blank itself? If you're using a very heavy blank and you are in you know, fishing in heavier cover for larger fish, then, yeah, it's really something to consider. But if you are using lighter tackle and, you know, it's not as critical of an item, yeah, then you really kind of want to look at balance not being one of the primary concerns, even if you're fishing all day long.
You know, I have fished together a lot over the years, and I think that, you know, my favorite rods right now, if I was going to go personally, okay, if I was going to go buy a rod off the shelf, I would say St. Croix, a Legend Elite, and 6.8 and 6.10. If I'm a walleye fisherman, I think that's the best length of rod. It with a medium, you know, medium action, medium light. It's the best. It's just the whole thing about the rod. It's the technique itself is important, but it's the length of the handle, the length of the rod, the guide placement. And I think if you're going to go and buy a store-bought rod, you know, off the shelf, I think right now, I think it's the best rod I've ever used. And I like it for jig fishing especially. And that's the length. And I like 7-footers too. I know I've tried a couple of your 7.3s and 7.2s, and they've been fantastic. But I think that, you know, when you bring up the point about balance, I think people really don't look at that when they go buy a rod. You know, just grab, you know, when you go to the store and say, hey, give me a reel to put on the rod for a minute, would you? And, you know, put the reel on the rod and see what the balance is for you. And make sure that, you know, you're not tucking in tight so it catches on your sleeve or on your rain suit. And we've all had that problem with too long a handle. But that's a great point, Darcy. I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah, and you and I obviously have much different preferences on rod length. So, you know, it's,
right.
You know, and it's just what we've gotten comfortable with. But what I will point out is your preference with a 6.8 actually better facilitates a shorter distance from the butt end to the reel feed itself, just because of the just because of the length of the rod itself.
Yeah, no, for sure, for sure. I think it's all important stuff to talk about. So, anyway, I just kind of, you know, I like to bring in people like you to talk about stuff like this, so people when they go to buy tackle or go buy a rod, that they don't make a mistake. You know, rods aren't cheap. You know, it's not one of those things where all of a sudden, you know, you just lay out the money on the table. You can buy a rod for $60. You can buy a rod for $400. It depends on what you want, what you're looking for, and what the, you know, what the feel of the rod is. And I think the best description I can ever give you about a rod is it's an extension of your hand and arm. And that's all it is. It's an extension of your hand and arm. So you want it to be comfortable. So I think we're about ready for another break here, and we'll be back with you in a few minutes. Darcy, if you'd like to stick around. If not, no problem.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
You are listening to Real Talk Outdoors on Total Country Bob FM.
We're not out of the woods yet. More Real Talk Outdoors next. Call or text 763-450-0100. Listen to Total Country Bob FM anytime, anywhere, online at mybobcountry.com. Thanks to Aurora Asphalt and Concrete. Go to aurora-asphalt.com for a free quick estimate.
Hey, Fishing Nation, your AquaView underwater camera isn't just for ice fishing. It plays a very important role in open water fishing. AquaView takes the guesswork out of understanding what's below the surface. It allows you to see structure, weeds, species of fish, and the mood of the fish. Now that we'll be fishing from a boat, there are fantastic deals going on at your favorite AquaView retailer. Get in on the great deals now and discover the underwater world like never before with an AquaView camera and see what you are missing.
Blackfish Gear has the apparel you need for all of your outdoor adventures. From rain gear with industry-leading fabric technology to ensure you stay dry in the wettest conditions, to UPF sun protection apparel that keeps you cool and your skin protected on the hottest days. And for those cool and blustery days, our soft shell gear will keep you warm and comfortable with a combination of premium fleece and a windproof and weather-resistant outer layer. You can't choose the weather, but you can choose how to dress for it. Choose Blackfish Gear. Learn more at blackfishgear.com.
What's that, boy? Timmy fell down a well again. No? Oh, you want a treat? Not that either, huh? What? You want a Cuban cigar? What? Well, that makes no sense. I do not understand you.
If dogs could talk, they'd tell you to go to MendotaPet.com, where you'll find the best pet products like leashes, collars, and skincare. MendotaPet.com, great products for your good boy or girl.
This is Debbie from Frankie's Live Bait and Marine, where we have a state-of-the-art Ranger Boat Repair Center with more collective experience working on Ranger boats than any other repair shop in the country. Our certified outboard technicians are well-qualified to repair your engine and get you back on the water as fast as possible. Buying your boat at Frankie's Marine entitles you to priority service ahead of anybody who has purchased their boat elsewhere. Consider Frankie's your pit crew if you should ever need repairs of any kind on your Ranger boat. Visit our website at frankiesboats.com or call us at 651-257-6334.
Dezeal Heating and Air Conditioning has let the dogs out, and their two-fur deal is back. If your furnace and air conditioner are over 10 years old, they could roll over and break down. Let Dezeal help you fetch a free air conditioner with their two-fur deal. For a limited time, when you purchase a furnace, you get a free AC unit. Dezeal Heating and AC. Details online at DezeelHVAC.com. That's DezeelHVAC.com. Get friends together, shoot some clays, and raise money for Kids Help. How can you beat that? It's the 8th annual Dave Weiss Memorial Sporting Clay Shoot on April 27th, benefiting Shriners Children's Camps Twin Cities and U of M Masonic Children's Hospitals. Presented by Clay's Camps for Kids Twin Cities, a 501c3 charity, with the support of Adelson Peterson Construction. Are you in? April 27th at the Minnesota Horse and Hunt Club in Prior Lake, Minnesota. Sign up at claysCampsForKidsTC.org. That's claysCamps, number 4, TC.org.
Missed part of Bob Outdoors? No problem. Just click on the weekend tab at mybobcountry.com to listen back to Real Talk Outdoors anytime.
Well, welcome back to Real Talk Outdoors, and we are here. We are the voice of anglers, and we love having you listen to us on Bob 100. And our friend and guest is Darcy Zubrick from Texas, and he is a very, very knowledgeable angler. And welcome back with us, Darcy.
Hey, glad to be here.
So you had one more thing you wanted to talk about on the cork, and I have something to add. A little bit different online and stuff, and when you're done. So you go ahead and finish up on your stuff.
Well, I think the other thing for people to pay attention to is don't get caught up just in brand names of rods per se.
Right.
There are a lot of very, very good brand names out there. But when you pick up a rod, I think one of the things that tends to be missed is how thick is that handle compared to the size of your hand. And the reason I focus on that is when I started building rods now almost 10 years ago, one of the things I was not comfortable with was the diameter of the handle. And in fact, a lot of them were just too large, too thick. And I found that over the course of a day, that can actually create wear and tear, if you will, stress on your wrist, just because now you're gripping the rod more with your hand, you're creating more tension with your hand, and it transfers to your wrist. So what I started doing when I started building rods, and Tom, I know you've seen some of mine, I've actually fashioned my own handles that are really much thinner. I won't call them tiny, but they are a much thinner handle that is much more comfortable for my hand, and it reduces the stress during the course of the day on my wrist.
You know, that's why a lot of people, when they have a thicker cork handle, have a tendency to set the hook differently. You know what I'm saying? Instead of that quick set with their wrist action, they're using more of an arm set. And I've seen that with people in my boat that have maybe they brought their own rod, or I have one that's got a little thicker handle on it that I use for customers, and then I'll put it away and then I'll go back to the thinner ones, because I do like the thinner ones, but there is a difference. And I think that it's a great point. And I don't think people, just because you got a big hand, a small hand, don't matter. The cork handle or the handle with Hypalon or whatever material should be thinner. You'll have better control of it. It'll last better on your wrist, and you'll get a much better hook set, I think, when you have a little bit thinner rod handle. Even though you might think that's a dumb thing, it's not. It's very smart.
And I think you have better sensitivity with it too. You know, again, it's my personal feeling about it, but I really think you sense what's going on better with that type of handle.
Well, that's a great point, you know, and that's that's why guys that build rods like you do, you know, you have the tendency to know exactly what a fisherman or what an angler wants in a rod, and then you can even build a rod. But it also teaches you a little bit too. That said, hey. You know, too many people want a thinner cork handle or thinner material, and there's a reason for it, because the sensitivity is there. It's less stress on your wrist, and overall, you get a better hook set. That's my feeling anyway. You know, and well, when I talk about 6'8" or 6'10" rods, you know, it's a preference. You know, it's exactly what it is. It's a preference, and I think that's why I've been always. When I work with a rod company, I always talk to them about, they'll ask me, what's the best length of a jig rod? And I'll say, this is what I use. And I tell them why. So anyway, one other thing, Darcy, I was going to just bring up to the folks is line. I mean, we've talked so many times about line, but I think the factor of, I have a friend of mine, and you know him very well, Vern Valiant out of Duluth, and he fishes walleyes with jigs in 8-ounce jigs with 4-pound test. And he does it continuously. He's a very good fisherman. But the only difference that he has is that he can't set the hook as firmly as somebody with a little stronger line, like 6 or 8. And he's very, he uses very sharp hooks. And he said he doesn't lose as many fish because he has a tendency to fish the fish slower. It's not a fast, you know, jerk him in, retrieve. He fishes the fish slower. So he enjoys the fight, but he doesn't get many fish to get off. You know, they don't get off because he's taking his time with it. And I think most anglers, what I see especially, and I hate to target anybody, but mostly the young guys, they want to reel it in as fast as they can and flip it in the boat. And I know Vern, I fish with him many times, and he takes his time. Light line, 4-pound test, and he says there is stretch in it, of course, but he says he's got great success with that. Now, I talk to people about attaching braid to mono. I have a tendency to use nothing less than 6-pound when I'm attaching mono to braid, and I just have been doing that. And even sometimes when I'm using like 10-pound mono and I want to downgrade to a lighter leader to 6 or 4, I'll do it that way. But my main line, I want it a little heavier just because it's on the reel. So I don't know if you've had that thought process in your mind, but I'm just giving you something from another angler that you and I know really well, and he's a good one.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because that just triggered one of the thoughts about why I like 7'3" rods. And that is, I can fish it upright, and in fishing it upright, because I tend to snap jig, right, pop them.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I feel something with that distance that I have in that rod, with that additional length, I can drop the tip back and let them have it. And what you've seen me do, and you've heard my son talk about this, and Tim, who comes up with him, we'll talk about what I will do is reach back. I will extend my arm back.
Oh, yeah.
Allowing them to keep hold of the bait until I'm comfortable that they have it, and then I can set the hook. Now, I think that ends up equating to a similar situation as Burns when he uses a lighter line. At least I think that does.
Yeah, I think so. It definitely does. Darcy, I got a couple things I have to do on the business side. So, you know, I really thank you for calling in tonight. I know, you know, you and I have been buddies for a while, and I appreciate your mindset on a lot of this stuff. It, you know, it goes with the quality of the person you are and the knowledge that you have. So I really appreciate it, and I will see you in a few weeks.
Yeah, will do. Thanks, Tom. I enjoyed it.
All right. Thanks, Darcy. Thanks for calling in. This segment right now is brought to you by Clam Outdoors. And I'll tell you what, there isn't a company in fishing right now that's hotter than Clam Outdoors, whether it's winter, spring, fall, or summer. I mean, they have tackle for everybody, but they have clothing. You know, they have all the kinds of gear that you as an angler is going to either want to wear or use on the end of your rod. So Clam Outdoors is a very unique company. It's not like any other company in all of fishing. And I'll tell you what, I thank Clam Outdoors for being with us for about 5 years now. And Clam Outdoors is one of those places to pay attention. When you go out shopping for tackle, make sure that you go in and look at Clam equipment, because it's the best there is. And I love their outerwear, their rain gear, some of their gear that we wear, just to take the chill off us a little bit. But again, Clam Outdoors is a place for you, and you will always find the best gear available. A couple things just to end the show a little bit here with is, if you're not a member of MinFish yet, make sure you join, because we are the voice of anglers, and we want to make sure that we're able to carry some items over, you know, for you. If you have an issue, make sure you bring it up and go online to minfish.com and bring up the question that you have or stuff that we can help you with. We're working on some projects now, and I can tell you honestly, Red Lake is going to be one of the things that we're going to be discussing probably politically in the future with a lot of people. It got to be something that has really created a lot of temperament up in the country, up in Washkish and Kellyer. Anything north of Deer River, it's been a real conversational piece. So make sure you pay attention to what's going on with Red Lake. We also just got done with a meeting on Mille Lacs, and it was a very interesting meeting. We heard a lot of information that we had never heard before. But there again, I have to say this, and I hope people don't take this wrong. Our fisheries personnel is very good. We have to trust their judgment and what they're, you know, what they think they're going to be doing in the future. It doesn't mean that we have to agree with them. Always remember that. You don't have to agree with them. But maybe getting to them quicker before they make a decision than they did this year, and let them know your feelings, and let them know some of the dialogue that you've been involved in, and some of the data that you've created might help in making these decisions before the next season starts. So again, have a little bit of faith, but make sure that you voice your opinion, because that's the only way they're ever going to know. If you remain silent, then, you know, if you want to go to the coffee shop and complain about it with your buddies, that doesn't get it done. So again, make sure you get a hold of the right people, and there'll be things to talk about in the future concerning a lot of different lakes in the state. But MinFish is your voice. So if you haven't joined, join today. It's the best investment you'll ever make. I'm trying to think. There was one other thing I was going to give you. I think I talked about the summit that we're doing at St. Cloud University on the 27th, which is coming up. There was one or two other little things here. But, you know, I think that when you look at your involvement in fishing, it's not just fishing. You know, if you want to be a person that cares about the fisheries, then join one of these work groups, these DNR work groups, because now you get your voice even more involved. And I think it's important that, you know, you contribute, that we all contribute in our own way. And I think it's very healthy to contribute to the sport that you love, whether you're a deer hunter, a fisherman, or just an outdoorsman. Make sure that you contribute in a way that can make a difference. And I know I have felt really strong about that, and I continue to do it as long as I'll be able to. So I can't think of anything else right now. Brandon, anything else?
Well, I mean, Larry's back next week, so back in full force.
Yep, we're back in full force. And I did want to add one more thing. This is getting away from what we were just talking about. If your people are going out and buying hooks, you know, like hooks for jigs, or you're making jigs, or, you know, live bait rigs and that. And I'm not connected with any of these companies, but Gamakatsu probably makes the finest hook I've ever used. Their sharpness is absolutely unbelievable, and you can't mistake it. There is another hook called an owner, but it's a different style of hook. And Gamakatsu makes all kinds of different hooks, you know, whether it's jigs, whether it's live bait rigs. But I'll tell you, if you're going to make your own stuff, make sure that Gamakatsu hooks are at the top of your list, because they are the finest hook on the market.
Very good. Well, cool. I think it's time for Andy to start doing his thing.
Well, Andy, come aboard. But I want to thank everybody for paying attention tonight and staying with me with Larry gone. And you know what? We'll be back next week. And it's always a pleasure. And we love to represent you in the fishing world.
And shout out to Darcy for calling in.
Yeah, great. Great having Darcy. Darcy's not only a good friend, but he's a very knowledgeable guy.
Very cool. Well, I mean, that wraps her up. Real Talk Outdoors.
Yeah, good night, everybody.
Have a great week. We'll catch you next week.